Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have some guests today. It was so nice. In fact, Lois Ragland brought the whole neighborhood. Thank you, Hugh, for the prelude. Very beautiful, soothing music. Get us in the mood for worship. And now we will start off with our announcements.
Golf tournament. We're getting teams in. We're up to five. Six? Seven? Oh, we're getting there. God, I love it. I love it. So keep pushing it. Neighbors, friends, children that play, you. And we need 10, so we're getting close. So it looks like we're going to be able to pull this one off this year. So keep working it. $85 a player. April 23rd. Lots of fun. And we're also going to, and I'm going to start pitching this a little bit, we're also going to need some extra help for those of you who do not play golf. On the day of, we're going to, you know, come out and help us with registration and help us with getting things set up around the course and just kind of non-golf stuff that needs to be taken care of to that day. So keep working it and appreciate all the people that are here as guests. We love having you here, but we have an annual golf tournament every year that goes to help kids, inner city kids, have a summer camp. So we get them off the street for the summer. So it's a great event. It's here at HEB. We raise anywhere from, a couple years ago we raised about $10,000. So it's a great event for us. And so if you know some people or if you guys play golf, we have brochures in the back. And be a great day. So thank you.
Okay, I didn't look at the back of it, but how any birthdays here today? Anniversaries? Any anniversaries that are here? Uh-huh. Norman Marilyn? 50? Holy cow, there ought to be a song for a 50th anniversary. And you're 23? Two. 20? Oh, wow. Okay, if you add you two together, you're almost where we are. Oh, it's great to have so many people here this morning. If you were here last week, you heard Bruce bring us a message about how to pray, or at least about the Lord's Prayer. There are many ways that people pray. You pray on your knees. You can pray with your eyes open, your eyes shut. There is no really, really one way that is the perfect way to pray. But I thought maybe this would bring to mind this story is going to tell you a little bit about how children see prayer. This little boy, he was 6 years old, and his mother took him to a restaurant. And he asked if he could say grace. And, of course, she said, certainly. So he bowed his head, and he said, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would even thank you more if Mom got us ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen. Well, people laughed just as you did in the restaurant, but one lady very vocally said, that's what's wrong with this country today. The kids don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Why, I never. Hearing that, the little boy broke into tears and he said, did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? Well, a man happened to be walking by, and he winked at him, and he said, I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer. Really? The little boy said. Oh, cross my heart, the man replied. And then, in a very theatrical whisper, he added, pointing at the lady, too bad she never asked God for ice cream. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Well, naturally, they got ice cream at the end of the meal. But then the little boy did something that was a little unusual. He got up and he took his ice cream over to the lady who had made fun of his prayer. And as he sat it down, he said to the lady, here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already. So, we'll pray now in whatever manner you like. Let's bow our heads Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these visitors today. We hope that this service may be a blessing to them and a blessing to our entire congregation. We have many people on our prayer list, and we pray for those. We pray that you will give them healing or comfort, whatever it is that they need, because you are in charge. You know better than we do what to do for them. We are thankful this morning for the choir. They are going to bring you an anthem, and I pray that you would bless Hugh this morning and make our music a blessing to everyone. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And now it's time for our first hymn, but I wanted to share one thing with you. Some of you, the visitors, won't know, but we have a sister-in-law who has terminal cancer, and we sent her a prayer pillow last week. This prayer pillow ministry is just absolutely wonderful. So it got there, I think last Friday, we got an email from them and said they just got home from the doctor and they found that beautiful pillow, and so they sat down and cried. So it touches them in many ways. But now on a better note, let's stand up and sing Holy, Holy.
Bow our heads. Father, we come before you this morning. Father, you know our prayers, you know our needs before we ever walked in this door. Father, you know where we came from, you know where we are. You have been with us daily, hourly, minute. Father, we give to you all of the people on our prayer request. Father, some of them are so dreadful that it's just really hard to understand what happens and how people suffer so much. But Father, we know that you have all of this in your heart and you have all of us in your arms. Father, we come to you today. We praise you. We bless you. Bless us. You bless us, Father. We thank you that we have a place to worship, that we are not a committee, that we are a people who love and adore you. Father, we just are so grateful. We're grateful for all that you have done for us. We're extraordinarily thankful for Hugh, for bringing him to us. That was a miracle in itself, just like the Clavinova was a miracle. Father, we just thank you so much for all of the people who are here today and those who are not able to make it. Father, we ask that you put your blessings and your arms around them. Father, we pray for everyone, and we ask this in your holy, precious name. Amen.
The scripture this morning is from the book of Psalms. It's number 99, and I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation, which to me is the easier version, at least to understand. The Lord is King. Let the nations tremble. He sits on his throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. The Lord sits in majesty in Jerusalem, exalted above all nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before his feet, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also called on his name. They cried to the Lord for help, and he answered them. He spoke to Israel from the pillar of cloud, and they followed the laws and decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but you punished them when they went wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain in Jerusalem, for the Lord our God is holy.
Let's sing Morning is Broken together.
For us to give with our tithes and our offerings. And so if you would stand with me, please, we'll sing the doxology together.
Immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supporting community reaching out to those who need. Accept these gifts we offer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
The King is exalted on high. Thank you, choir. Great job. Over the many, many decades that I have conducted worship services and Bible studies at long-term facilities, and of course, back in those days, what I call nursing homes, I often wondered how much was being grasped. Or even those present, even though that we were having a worship service or a Bible study. But then, something wonderful almost every time happened when I led the group in the Lord's Prayer. Everything changed. It seemed so comforting to everybody. It was something that they could hold on to, a memory that could not be shaken, a familiar ritual that brought us all into the presence of God, those who were there and those who were worshiping. Many eyes that were dimmed and very, very sad were brightened with the words of the Lord's Prayer, knowing it's familiar, it's part of their life. For this Lenten season, which is 40 days before Easter, not counting Sundays, I haven't looked into that, why they don't count Sundays, but we're looking into those parts of the service which may become humdrum and rote. Too familiar. My wife started off a couple of weeks ago with a deep and insightful look into communion, or as we call it, the Lord's Supper. She looked at it and said, okay, what are the important parts of it? What does it do for you? What does it do for your relationship with God? And now we're looking into the first petition or talking point of the Lord's Prayer. The first part is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. John's Gospel, we see an instance where Jesus prays publicly, says, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice thunders from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, this word, hallowed be thy name, it's an old-fashioned word that means to sanctify, to be sound, to be fit or whole, or to make special, to make perfect and make it free from defilement. We have our fall holiday called Halloween, don't we? What this really means is not ghosts and dragons and ghouls and skeletons or costumes or trick-or-treat, but the honoring of the saints who have gone on ahead of us. And we all are saints in God's eyes. To hallow means to have a different quality of being, to be extraordinary, to be set aside, to be put in a special place. And we all are special people in God's eyes. This petition could be translated, may your name be held holy. We say that to God. God, may your name be held holy. In other words, may you be revered and respected for who you are. May your character and reputation be honored. To hallow God's name is to recognize, to respect, to have reverence for God, to profess and proclaim that God is holy. We don't add to God's holiness, we only acknowledge it. We can't add to God's holiness. God is the Holy One, the Most Holy. God has an open door policy, doesn't he? Everybody can come to him no matter how you want to do it. Hallowed be thy name, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It is a very close, intimate relationship. We don't start off the Lord's Prayer by saying, I want this, that, or that. The other thing, we say, God, you're holy, and your name is hallowed. On Memorial Day, Independence Day, and Veterans Day, it's evident who respects our nation, those who stand with their hand over their heart and pray and say the Pledge of Allegiance, those who remove their hats and are quiet. The same fashion, some honor God and some dishonor him. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Martin Luther posed the question in his catechism, how is God's name hallowed among us? And it is when both doctrine and our life are godly and Christian. Two things come together. There's doctrine, which says, here's what we believe in. And then there's the life we live. And how does that merge together? That's so important. Jewish worshipers, as I mentioned last week, regarded the name of God so sacred that they would not write it. They would only use a new quill every time it came to God's name, and they would take out all the vowels. It was also considered irreverent to speak of God's name aloud. There are many gods named in the Bible. For example, Adonai, which means the Lord God, or Yahweh, the name I Am God gave to Moses. Some had called God by different names. You remember the movie Forrest Gump, don't you? You probably heard this before from me, but Forrest said, you know, I went to church and I learned the name of God. And really, Forrest, what is the name of God? God's name is Andy. How could that be? Because we sang a song, and he walks with me, Andy talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. The same thing happened to another Sunday school. 7-year-old came home from Sunday school. And his dad said, what did you learn in Sunday school? He said, I learned the name of God. Wow. The dad said, that's great. What is it? And the boy said, his name is Howard. Howard? Howard, how could that be? Yep, said the boy, we prayed. Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. Do we really understand what it means to revere the Lord? In the spiritual world, were you there when they crucified their Lord, captured the sense of the holy, sometimes it causes me to tremble. In the presence of the Lord, it should cause you to tremble. We should be struck by the awesome majesty of God. By starting with God's holiness in the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus said, this is the perfect prayer. We recognize that prayer is not for our benefit, but also to praise God. David, King David, responds in Psalm 34, glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's what we do in worship. We exalt his name together, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, our first hymn. When Moses appeared before God at the burning bush, he heard the voice of God and he removed his sandals because he was not worthy to stand on that ground. It was an act of humility before our holy God. Isaiah saw the majesty of God and he stood, trembled. He understood what God is and who God is. And we should tremble before the Lord. The affirmation, hallowed be thy name, reflects the many prayers of King David. This first petition of the Lord's Prayer is indispensable for the foundation of the rest of the prayer, which we are going to get into the next couple of weeks. So what is in a name? God has a name. If we look at many of the corporations in this nation, every one of them elicits a certain response. Ford, Walmart, Apple, U.S. Steel, Enron. By revealing God's name, we proclaim what he has done for us. He has made a name for himself. Psalm 102 proclaims, the nation shall fear the name of the Lord. You know, in the Bible, it's mentioned that some have said there are 900 references to God and what he does and what his name is. Some of them are like Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah. Those are some of the names of God. Jewish families gave special thoughts to names of children, and we do that today. I hope they do. Some families try to make their children's names so impossible to understand where they came from. But early American Puritans did that very, very carefully. They named their girls Chastity, Hope, and Faith, and Patience. The third commandment tells us not to use God's name lightly, casually, or irreverently, or in curse, or in jest. That's why when I'm out on the golf course, somebody makes a bad shot and says, oh, geez, Oh, you know what they're saying. And I'll say to them, oh, you know his name too? The essence of evangelism is that everyone will hallow God's name in everything that they do. Our culture, we have reduced our worship to a level of entertainment. Some of the big churches have light shows and megatrons and TV feeds and hard rock bands. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because we can use every source we can to develop and worship God. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's what is more and more important is that, are we entertaining or are we worshiping? Is our worship entertainment or is it a body of believers coming together? We hope that people enjoy church. We hope that people get something out of the experience. Was the sermon inspiring? Was the music to our liking? We have people that come and go because of sermon and because of music, and like that music, don't like that music. And so people gravitate to what makes worship important to them. Jesus rebuked the money changers at the temple, saying, "This is a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a place of commerce." I've heard it said for some people, church is a performance, but at the end of the show, the applause comes from God because you have reached out to him and he loves to hear you. We are praying that God will be holy in this irreverent world. And how can we do that? How can we make God holy in an irreverent world such as ours? Well, it becomes your responsibility to hallow God's word name every day in your life. Do our prayers and lives reflect that and show to the world that you have hallowed God's name? Are we praising God in all that we do? Everything that we do, does it praise God or does it demean God? God wants us to be holy as he is holy. That doesn't mean going around being pious, but it means going around living a life that shows love to your fellow man. We are to honor him. We are to show respect to him. As a church, he wants us to present ourselves to a world as a community of faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love, unshaken in our devotion to the hallowed Lord that is so important. God is our life. God should be in our life as 100% as our hallowed Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, holy, holy, holy is your name. God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. In our lives, Lord, be highly esteemed and glorified. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, the Sovereign Father, the Redeeming Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say thank you and amen. And let us now confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
talked to us a couple 3 weeks ago about Holy Communion and what we should think about when we take it. Well, it's time again for us to take it. So let's sing Jesus, I Come before we have communion. Out of my bondage, sorrow and Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee, out of my
my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. And arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, of despair in rapture above, hover on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." After they finished eating, in the same manner he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be.
I'm glad to see that everybody got their clock set for the right time and you got here, even though we're a little sleepy. And I apologize because I must have been sleepy. I've been off kilter up here all day. But we're going to make up for it now as we sing our closing hymn, the solid rock. So let's stand and sing it together. Is built on nothing less than Jesus and His ness. Sweet is fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I'd rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Right after the service, we're having a little social in the back with some goodies, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.